This is KCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. Coming up, Subversity with Dan Zhang. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the Regents of the University of California, nor the management of KUCI. It's really good news today and this week. Bad news and good news back to back. On Saturday, we found out that AIDS activists in China, Wang Yanhai, had gone missing on Friday in China. He had been interviewed by some people who said they were cops and local public security folks who showed up at his complex where his office is, his AIDS activists project office. And eventually they apparently took him away. So he was incommunicado. There was no connection with his cell phone after he told his fellow colleagues at his project to cancel a meeting that was scheduled, like a international workshop actually, on tainted blood. And in China, there's a big problem, especially in Henan province and elsewhere, of tainted blood, blood tainted with the AIDS virus and being distributed. And so a lot of people have gotten infected. And he was the person responsible for the alarm about this and getting the government eventually to admit that there was a problem. But the government still does not want to hear bad news about this. And so that seems to be the warning of this detention, apparently by local authorities. Well, the good news is that late last night, U.S. time, Monday morning, his time, yesterday afternoon, I guess, in U.S. time, he was released and he showed back up at his office. And his group has issued a statement saying that that he will work and not antagonize the government in future. So that was apparently the quid pro quo, his release in return for a statement of willingness to work with the government. And so we're going to track, we're going to still do a show on his work this hour and find out and give the listeners information about why he's such a controversial figure, I guess, and what irks the government in China about his work. This is Dan Zhang with the Subversity Show here on KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine, and also on the web at kuci.org, streaming right now. And our website for the show is kuci.org /DTSANG. The AFP, Agence France-Presse, dispatched this morning or late last night, said that he has been freed, Wang Yanhai has been freed after being detained for 3 days. He was freed this morning, his colleague told the AFP. He was being held somewhere in Beijing by people who said they were the police and who took him away. We still don't know if they were the real police. This forum was scheduled in advance of World AIDS Day, December 1st, and Wang Yanhai's IZ group had also held a similar forum the previous year that challenged what the government was giving out on hemophiliacs and advocating, and he was advocating for more support for people, for hemophiliacs and people with AIDS. The UN has just argued, or the UN has been tracking HIV outbreaks, and the government in China has also confirmed that there has been a 27.5% rise in HIV cases, and that that this past week, last week, there was the total number was there were 183,733 people confirmed with HIV/AIDS at the end of October, which was the 27.5% increase from the end of last year. And but the estimate of the United Nations is much higher, which is 650,000 cases. Totally. So this controversy about AIDS, about how to do with AIDS, of course, is mixed in with money. The UN and other Western countries have, also donated lots of money to fight AIDS, and the Wang Yanhai's organization depends mostly on Western foundations to fund it, but it's not getting a share of the big money that is going to a government-approved NGO or government kind of supports, one that the government supports more in China, another NGO, a non-governmental organization. And we're going to be taking a look at the implications of Wang Yanhai's detention for civil society formation, what this means in terms of civil society detention. That is the because what because what this the effect of this is that the government tends to approve of certain non-governmental organizations and disapprove of others, and thus there is still a lack of freedom for NGO activity. They are pretty much under the scrutiny of the government, and of course people like Wang Yanhai often players in this stage are skillfully navigating the landmines that are thrown in their path, so that they are able to continue to work while not antagonizing the government as much. And so we're going to be taking a look at this, what this situation is in China. Wang Yanhai was, of course, detained in 2002 for about a month. He was put in jail at that time by local authorities because he had sent out information on email about the Henan situation, where tainted blood was involved, and thousands of villagers in various villages in Henan province turned out to have been infected with tainted blood. And the government covered it up for many, many years. And there was a doctor in Henan who had talked to him, and there was an award given to this doctor, but she couldn't go to the West to accept it, and Wang Yanhai accepted it for her. And then a few months later, he himself was arrested, and a Canadian AIDS civil rights group, AIDS work group, was giving Wang Yanhai an award, and his wife showed up to accept it for him at the time he was being detained. At that time, during his detention, there was actually incredible support generated from the internet. And so he was able to get total support from many outsiders, from human rights groups, as well as from politicians and as well as other entities in the West. And what he found was that it was this outside pressure actually that that got him a release. At the time, Chinese official Jiang Zemin was about to visit the U.S., and so there was a lot of face involved about detaining this person. And even the New York Times wrote an editorial saying that this release of Wan Yanhai would help in getting China more support in the West. And so at that time, there was lots of news coverage, lots of concern about him being disappeared. And so that was actually quite an amazing situation. So in fact, it seems likely that if the government had detained Wan Yanhai for longer than than the last few days, there would have been an even bigger outcry in the media, and leading to a lot of political pressure on the Chinese government. It's unclear at this point whether the national government knew what was going on, or whether this was just a bunch of local apparatchiks that decided to take Wan into custody on their own without any authority of higher government. But it seems like it succeeded. Whatever happened, there was probably a lot of pressure that we might not even know about, where he was actually released. He will be. He has actually talked about some of this. In an interview earlier with a new magazine, a fairly new magazine in the last few years, on science and technology and social implications, called Seed. Wan Yanhai has talked about what his battle is in China and how he deals with it. And the Seed magazine interview is on the web, which was the major interview after his release in 2002, in 2003 issue, sorry, in the January-February 2003 issue. And you can see that interview at www.seedmagazine.com. There's at the time of his arrest in 2002, in addition to the news coverage and the political efforts on his behalf, activists around the world took some action to seek his release. ACT UP in Paris threw fake blood on a plaque on the Chinese embassy in Paris on September 13th, and in a protest where ACT UP militants protested the imprisonment of AIDS activist Wan Yanhai, according to a photo of that event from the Associated Press. So the first interview was interview after his arrest was in 2003 on the Seed magazine website. They have recently updated that interview with another interview with him, short update, and that was entitled Revisiting Wan Yanhai. 4 years after his release from prison, the AIDS activist sits down for another chat. This is also on its website for free. And he discloses that many, many activists, AIDS activists, and not just himself actually, have been detained, and that he's quite angry at the at the government, and he predicts that he'll be detained sometime. He says, myself, I am still free. I am very angry with our government right now. I'm thinking I'll be detained sometime. He deplores the fact that 4 years have passed since he was detained, and yet while things are better, the government is still closed. And he accuses the government of lying about the AIDS situation. He's received one small grant 2 years before from the Chinese government, and he thinks that he's been accused. He argues that he's tells the reporter that he's been accused at a Chinese Center for Disease Control. A government official condemned him for receiving funding from foreigners and helping foreigners, and saying that that is not fair to the Chinese people. Of course, he does receive funding from foreign sources. That's because he can't get much money from local sources, and there is now, and he mentions that there is. He confirms that there is a government-sponsored NGO working with AIDS that has been getting the resources from the state. So what his bug with the government is that it's not transparent, that what the government has done on the AIDS situation, that while they've been admitting certain things, they have still not been transparent about statistics, about a lot of stuff, about what they've done and what they've not done, and about the tainted blood situation. The interesting thing about his organization is that earlier this year, the government tightened regulations on additional regulations maybe on registration of NGOs, and his group was forced to actually change its name. There was some accusation that the name of the group conflicted with another name of a government project. And so he, in their 2005 report, which is on their website, on the IZ, .net website, which I can give you the full URL subsequently, or you can look for it at the kuci.org/TDSANG and go to the This Week website and click on the press release for this show. The group had to change its name, and this is a continuing problem with NGOs that face government interference. His group was originally evicted from a university right before he was arrested in 2002. And so this kind of harassment is typical of state interference with civil society formation. It's one way to get rid of a group, obviously. Although the 2005 report notes that even though he has been forced to change the name, he does not, he's changed it formally, but he still refers to his group under the old name. And so he carries on. We're talking about Wan Yanhai, who turns out has been released from custody in China. It's still unclear who detained him. Was it rogue cops? Was it under the authority of the national government, or was it just some local Beijing, local bureaucrat, police bureaucracy that decided to take him in and slow his publicity and his work? The news, we're going to continue talking about the civil society implication and look at an article that was written in Human Rights in China publication that is written by a scholar on a scholar, I believe, in Asia, who was talking about the fact that his group is often not approved by the government, and therefore loses out on government funding, or the funding that the government receives from the West, about AIDS work. And so we're going to be taking a look at that and seeing if we could try to bring you more information about the politics of civil society formation in China, as well as how it involves this particular organization in China. We'll be doing that momentarily, and we will get back to that in a sec. For now, let's take a break. Yeah, you're listening to Subversity here on KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. The opinions on the show are not necessarily those of the regents of the University of California, nor the management of KUCI. This is Dan Zhang signing off. Not signing off. We're still on the show. Doing the show on KUCI we're talking about Wang Yanhai and the lack of civil society transparency as he struggles with the problems of running an organization in China that is constantly under police surveillance. And we will be looking at an article that was written about the limits of official tolerance, actually. We will be seeing if we can get to this article and see if there's a way to bring more clarity to this issue of how one can survive in this kind of campaign while the government is constantly surveilling you. And so we will trying to find this article to talk about the issue of this organization that Wang Yanhai founded, which is the Institute. Which is Aizi, which originally started as Aizi and now has other names, but it is a counseling organization in its new permutation. This is an article by Albert Chen, which you can find on the web. which was written for Human Rights in China publication, Human Rights Forum, I think China Rights Forum. And he discusses the fact that when Wang Yanhai was arrested, the UN Global Fund was about to was looking over the application of China for funding for the Global Fund to fight AIDS, and so that case had that application, because the application was going on at the same time, that might have been the crucial factor in his release at the time, because the UN let it be known that that funding would not be approved. According to the New York Times, the China had been requesting over $90 million, a second round of applications, and that in order to get that funding, they had to release Wan at the time, and that this was just too much at risk, according to his Chinese sources, that they had to give to release. The Public State Security Bureau released Wan a week before the application was to be submitted. So they were considering the submission at the time. In late 2002, just before World AIDS Day, in November 2002, the Chinese government legitimized the first official support group network run by people living with HIV/AIDS, and that was called the Mangrove Support Group, founded by a person called Xiao Li and other HIV-positive organizations. And so that group was chosen by the Chinese government to be a member of this network that was going to be getting Global Fund support. And so because Wang Yanhai's group lay outside this network, he now continues to criticize the government's handling of the general fund monies, and has been speaking out. And so that could also be one of the reasons why he was detained recently. We're going to also be able to go to his go here a little bit of what he said on this show earlier back in 1999, I believe, when he was interviewed here on this show. And so we'll momentarily we'll be going back, going to that interview, and listen to that and hear what he has to say. But before we do that, we'll be bringing you that interview we did with Wang Yanhai almost like 7 years ago here on the radio. And that was done in Los Angeles when he was actually living in Los Angeles. He's also been a resident of Orange County. When I chatted with him last night after his release online, I chatted with him online. He seemed in good spirits. So I hope, I trust that he did not suffer. Here's how we led up to the interview last time. With us on the line is a activist from China, Wang Yanhai. Welcome, Mr. Wang. Can you hear us? Mr. Hai, Wang.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Yeah, you're on the air now.
Oh, I'm online. Yeah.
Yeah.
My name is Wang Yanhai. I'm from China. Visiting scholar at the University of Southern California. I've been in the Los Angeles area for totally a year, and I will go back to China next month.
You were a activist in China, and you founded the first AIDS hotline in Beijing.
Yes, that's in Latin
And you were fired from your job in the
yes.
health department.
Yeah.
Because of what?
Yeah, just my job in the hotline. We stopped, and a year later, I was fired by the health department. So because the health department thought I was promoting homosexuality and human rights. China.
You were using the hotline to educate people, right?
Yeah, the hotline for education and focus on people's health issues and some basic human rights or sexual minority among a campaign of AIDS education, yeah.
So
I think that's really basic.
So you were a victim of political investigation or political spying?
That's the issue after that. So since 1994, we studied some just gay rights in China. So since it's, although it's focusing on education and social, social work, focus on some basic, human rights issues, but it's a social project, independent, and I think Chinese government don't like it, and they spied, actively like me.
What did they do to you?
I think just some phone recording, later. Some issue I don't know because I'm the person on the telling, but I don't know how the department works.
This is a Department of Public Safety.
Department of State Security.
Did people from that department visit you in your apartment?
They visited me. Talk. Yeah, anyway, just it's a kind of filing, and the department, they did not stop me.
They talk to you. I understand you play chess with them even.
because they waited in my house, and not too hostile, but they want to get what's going on, and want to change my mind and give some warning or some suggestion, and we had some talk, and even we chess. So it's kind of although something is friendly, but I think the smiling itself does not make sense for social work. Because I think this kind of smiling is had many negative impact. The first is for me, I just want to do good things for society, and all the work is for public interest. So the government does not believe me, and does not trust me, and some staff work just for monitoring but not for helping me or for support the work. They just want to take control of me. So for me, my mentality was we really suffered. Of the government, I
What happened? How do you feel about
because
it?
Because before I go to American, for a moment, I had a night, I just had a bad dream in the night, so I couldn't sleep well, and so I often say, whether there's somebody behind me, even after came American. So all the reaction of myself is quite, automatically, it's kind of, a person become really sensitive in security, but not only for work, I think. That does not make sense. It's a wasting of, human resource. Also, I think the second issue, I think the government should, support the work done by me, and they should provide, political or financial support for social work, but they spend many, some spies to control you. Or I think it's a kind of wasting of the resource. And the third issue, I think, we are focusing on, health education, social issues, and some, basic human rights of sexual minorities in China. So all the issues, does not harm any political authority or political parties. So it's quite, I think what I did in China can benefit so, all social groups.
You feel that you're
fault? Yeah. So all the issue is for public interest. So what the government is can only politicalize some situation, because for activists, for social activists like me, and regular monitoring, people might become mad, become crazy, and become emotionally politicalized. And just want to fight against the government. So I think there's no benefit for activists and the government to fight against each other, because our target is not objective. It's not for political fighting. We are focusing on public benefit.
You don't think you're a threat to the state?
What?
You don't think you are a threat to the state, to the state security in China?
When
you are doing your social activism stuff
in China?
Yeah. Do you think the state sees you as a threat?
I think the government had some fear, because now the Chinese authorities also are of Italian power, and they had fear to any kind of social group or the creation of some independent social group. And they had some fear. I can understand why, they buy some activists or some other social people. But I think the action itself, cannot be accepted, because it damages both people and public interest, and also politicalize non-political issue. I think so the situation is I can understand why government is like that. I don't think that political spying can be accepted.
Do you think the government caused you to be less trusting of other people then, so you don't trust
After regular monitoring, just for me, I created some psychological mechanism to identify who, you know, is or who is comes by among my regular friends. So even just I told some of my friends who might be a government spy, you know, to be careful. And so, you know, it's kind of nonsense and activities, you know, for social, for the public interest become, you know, regular, you know, just sensitive security and, you know, defensive against the government filing, I think.
Did they try to hurt you at all? Do you know if they tried to hurt you?
I heard some stories, but I don't know whether the story is true or not. So I don't know, because, you know, many things are in secret. It's in secrecy, you know, it's not open now. I even don't know. I think I even don't care, you know.
You don't care
and
about?
I don't think I care about this issue now, because I just, for me, just I've decided to go back next month. So when I, you know, just go back, if the government will, you know, ask me to talk, I will clearly tell them that or just my work for public benefit, for health, education, for some psychological and human rights, basic human rights protection of human rights in China, you know, which has not harmed any political, you know, authority. So I think, you know, this kind of issue is quite clear, and you know, we should get, you know, political filing.
You know, in the U.S., they tell people not to talk to the FBI. You know, if the FBI knocks on the door, we're not supposed to open the door and talk to them. We just say, you know, get out. We don't have to talk to them.
In China, I think that's not a good way to, you know, say, get off. That's my business. I don't think that makes sense now. Act like that way, and they just... But for me, I don't think, you know, I want to keep, you know, hostile. I just want, you know, I think I don't have enough power to say, you know, get away. So, yeah, I think I have, you know, fear, you know, to be arrested.
Do you feel good about going back?
Not too good. I don't think I feel good to be, you know, I don't think I feel, you know, much good to be, to go back, for security issues. But, yeah, I might feel comfortable for the general social culture and parliament. You know, I'm Chinese. I live in China for more than 30 years, and I have many friends there, and I like it. So,
yeah.
So, but...
But they, is it the... They see you as a political activist, I guess, huh?
I think what, you know, I do, you know, have, you know, some, you know, political impact, or have some relation political issues, but I think what I did is, you know, quite focused on education and social work, not that political, I think, or, you know, independent social work as political effect.
Do people, what do people usually do in reaction? I mean, do your friends talk to the government about your other friends? I mean, are there a lot of informants there in China now, or was that just a thing during the Cultural Revolution?
What is your question?
I mean, during the Cultural Revolution, people started to talk about their neighbors or report their neighbors to the government. Do they still do that now, or is that...
I think this kind of issue, you know, still happen, but not that common today. Many Chinese people become much more taught, not by cultural revolution, people more criticized and, you know, supported or talk about the other people's issue. Chinese people, let's say, taught each other and created some groups. I got much support from my
And in the area of... In the area of sexuality, people are talking a lot now, right?
Yes, there are some open magazines for sexuality and
But there's also
China, some big cities, like the government still, you know, care about the political or
There's no organized gay group.
There's some informal
group,
like shape, some, you know, some writing, reading, educational issues, and there's some group for counseling and education, but not that informal.
You work with the newsletter for the Chinese Society for Sexual Minorities. Do you? What is their website?
www. I work as editor of Chinese Society for Sexual Minorities.
The website is www.cssm.org. Four S's.
www.cssm.org. Sorry about the audio on this replay of Wan Yanhai talking with us back in the late 90s. When we talked to him in 98, actually, on January 20th, when we talked to him about political surveillance and how it wreaks a psychological havoc on him, so that he is even afraid of his friends and suspicious that they might be spying on him. But interestingly enough, he talks about playing chess with the public security people that show up at his home, even just to relax. And they are, of course, trying to find out what he's doing.